Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you would stand, let's open our Bibles. I think what I'm going to do is read 2 Peter 3:9, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning of the chapter and read the whole read it up to there. 2 Peter 3:9. The word of the Lord says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Praise God. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us, God, to recognize our own need before you, O God. Have your way in this place and minister to every heart and every mind. We all need you, God. Help us to see how much, and help us to recognize that the door is open and that you are not willing that any should perish. Help us, Lord, to come to repentance according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Peter 3:1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Remember, he's writing to the church. 2 Peter 3:2, "that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers," everyone say scoffers, "walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they were willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word," God's word, "are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now there's a message to win friends and influence people. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Praise God for that. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen. I think that I can establish scripturally that we are in the last days. And I believe that most of us here would agree with that, that the signs of the end times are here, those who are familiar with the Scripture. But for many people, that has no meaning. There are scoffers, the Bible says. I want to talk this evening about don't be snooty. Don't be snooty. The way this reads is, it says that there will be scoffers scoffing. And that is an emphasis on the attitude involved, that in the end time, in the last days, there will come a time when people mock the Word of God and mock those that believe in the Word of God. Amen. Following after their own desires. Notice those two things go together. They mock the word of God. They mock the promises of God because they want to follow their own desires. Amen. They go together. It's no coincidence. We live in a culture that encourages the mocking of Christianity and of the word of God. Now, some of what Christianity has done in the last several generations maybe deserves to be mocked. But the word of God is true. Nevertheless, the Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Scripture says. This is not the first culture that has grown up in the earth to mock the word of God or to ridicule God's people. Nations and cultures have risen and fallen and have come against the word of God and against the people of God, and the word of God still stands. Amen. They especially reject the idea of the coming of the Lord because we have never seen this happen. One of the strangest doctrines that we accept is the rapture. That somehow, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed and we'll be like him and we should be caught up together to meet him in the air. That, when you stop and think about it, is pretty weird. But I've been weird before. I don't mind being weird going to meet the Lord. Praise God. But the scripture says they're willingly ignorant of this. What a strange phrase. Willingly ignorant. They want to be stupid. Here's the thing. They know there's something true. They know there's something to it. Everyone who sits under the sound of my voice, somewhere in your heart, if not with your whole heart, you know there's something true about this Bible. You know there's something true about this gospel, or you wouldn't be here. There's something about it, even though you may not understand it all, even though you may not even accept it all. Even if it's only in the small corner of your mind, there's a voice that speaks, this is true. This is real. But the Bible says that there are many who are willingly ignorant. They just quiet that voice. They shut it up. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to listen to it. Because, you know, we know in the back of our mind, we know in our heart that if we accept this truth, that automatically marks us. It separates us from popular culture. It separates us from the world around us. It makes us different. And if there's anything you don't want to be in today's world, it's different. Unless you're different in a certain way that's politically acceptable. We know that it will mark us, that we'll be identified. We know also that it calls for a change in what we are and who we are. In the back of our mind, we understand if I accept this preacher, if I accept this word, if I accept this message, if I do this baptism thing, then I'm going to have to change. We know it's true. What will my friends say? What will my family say? And then there's this little lie that enters into our mind and it says, well, what I don't know won't hurt me. Yeah, what you don't know will hurt you. Praise God. Lawrence Gonzalez, in a book, tells about some wilderness mountain hikers in Hawaii. And as you know, that Hawaii are just volcanic mountains grown up out of the ocean. And a lot of people go up on the side of the mountain and they do a lot of hiking up there. And the more and more that our people in our culture go for these wilderness experiences, the more they die out in the wilderness. Because they think they know something about being in the wilderness when in fact they know next to nothing. What you don't know can hurt you. What a lot of people don't know about the mountains in Hawaii is that the dense foliage that's on the ground tends to grow out over the edge of the cliff. So a lot of the mountain hikers that don't know what they don't know are walking along happily in their mountain adventure, and they're following what they think is a path, and there's vegetation there, so it must be ground underneath, and they step out off the edge of the cliff. And they're never heard from again. They plummet into the ocean, where they're smashed on the rocks and eaten by sharks. Yeah, what you don't know can hurt you. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That doesn't mean that God's hiding it from you. It just means that because you're walking in a lost condition, you're not aware of what the gospel can do for you. In whom the god of this world, that's the enemy of your soul, Satan, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's blinded your mind. You can't see what's below that vegetation. Lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's God's will for you to know Jesus personally. It's His desire to shine the light of this glorious gospel into all of our hearts. He's not playing hide and seek. What this passage is saying is that it is hid because those that are lost are choosing to be lost rather than turn to the light. You see, they're willingly ignorant of the fact that the flood took place. Oh, that's just a fairy tale, Brother Seidel. The flood took place. You know that most ancient cultures have some kind of flood myth. Now, when I first became a Christian, that was an argument that people presented to me to say that the Bible account of the flood wasn't true. But that's a false argument. The stronger argument is the fact that because so many cultures have a flood myth, it indicates that something really did happen. Just so happens that the Bible has the real story. Hallelujah. They're willingly ignorant of that fact. They do not want to accept it, because you and I know that if we accept the story of the flood, we accept the God who has the right to judge the people on the earth, and that if we accept the point that God has the right to judge the people on earth, that means He's got the right to judge me. And somehow I have to give an account to Him for the life I'm living. Hallelujah. But it's also true what the Bible says about the future. You see, the God we're talking about, the Bible we're reading, He's alive. He's real. It's not make-believe. There will be a judgment. The Bible says that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a heaven and a hell. You choose. Praise God. There's a place in every mind. There's a place in our heart. And in our mind, even if it's just that little corner, that we know that this is true. This is real. Amen. Snooty, the world's oldest captive manatee, spent his final 48 hours making history and eating cake. The world-famous sea cow turned 69 on Friday. This happened in July of 2017. And celebrated another year in the Guinness Book of World Records with a blowout party Saturday afternoon. Hundreds of guests sang him happy birthday. This is a manatee, a sea cow. Like they've done every year at the South Florida Museum since 1993. Then they watched Snooty devour a cake-shaped tower of pineapples, strawberries, and carrots. But Snooty's record-setting 69th birthday would be his last. In the wee overnight hours, Snooty and his manatee tank mates, Randall, Baca, and Gale, managed to swim into an underwater hallway used to access plumbing. It's the plumber's fault. Access plumbing for the exhibit's life support system. Officials, that just occurred to me, Pastor. I didn't. Underwater hallway used to access plumbing for the exhibit's life support system. Officials with the Bradenton, Florida Museum said the area is usually blocked off by a bolted panel, but it somehow became dislodged. See, those that are willingly ignorant of the truth, they say it's the world's been the same from the beginning. Why would there anything ever happen that hasn't happened before? Somehow it became dislodged. It appears that Snooty, I'm sorry, I just went jumped ahead. Randall, Baca, and Gale, all weighing between 500 and 600 pounds, makes me feel thin, were able to navigate their way out and up to the surface where they could breathe again. But it appears that Snooty, more than twice their size, was unable to turn himself around. His large and weathered body wasn't discovered until Sunday morning when Parker Manatee Aquarium staff were greeted by Randall, Baca, and Gale, but no Snooty. It appears that Snooty was able to get, listen to this, was able to get into the area, Jeff Rogers said, but he was not able to extract himself from the situation. He was not able to extract himself from the situation. He was just going about his business, doing what he normally did. This wonderful old sea cow, enjoying life, having fruit cakes, having a great life. Praise God. Just like some of us, just go along from day to day thinking that everything's going to be the same. But the Bible says that the race doesn't go to the fastest. It means that things don't always go the way that you expect them to. It doesn't always go according to plan. The best doesn't always win. Good things don't always happen to good people. But time and chance happens to all, the scripture says. We don't have control of things like we think we do. We may think we have it all figured out. We may think that we're in control, but we really don't know what's coming our way. That's why we need to know the one who is in control. Amen. Don't be a snooty. Don't be fooled by life. We are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow. The holiest of us all is not promised tomorrow, and the least holiest of us all is not promised tomorrow. But God is here right now, today. Another story that Lawrence Gonzalez tells in his book, Deep Survival, tells about a member of a snowmobile safety patrol team. He was the guy that rides out on the snowmobile to rescue people. And they had just done a run, their team, through the woods, up in the mountains, and they were on their way back to headquarters, wherever that was. And all day long, they had been warning the other snowmobilers about the condition of the mountainside, that the snow and the moisture and the climate and everything is just right for an avalanche. So don't be doing anything silly. Be careful where you ride your snowmobile. Don't go up any slopes. They're on their way back. They're almost back to the headquarters, and they stopped for a break. And one guy of that group looks up at the slope on the side of the mountain and sees all this beautiful white crystal snow. And the member of the snowmobile safety patrol decides that he's going to give it a go. And the story goes that he just, before anyone had a chance to say anything to him, he turned the snowmobile toward the side of the mountain and gunned it, and he ran up. See, one of the things that they like to do, these guys on their sleds, is they like to go up as far as they can and see who can go the farthest before they can't go any further, and then they tip over or roll over or they turn around and come back. Well, he was going to see how far up the side he could get. And he almost made it to the top. When, by everyone else's reports, the people that were sitting down on the bottom suddenly felt and heard a deep rumble that indicated that an avalanche was about to begin. Sure enough, they watched helplessly as the mountain, the wall of snow, began to shift and slide and tumble down toward them, completely obliterating their friend and his snowmobile on the side of the mountain, and endangering every one of them. Some of them were injured as well because of one man's foolishness, because of one man's choice. Don't be snooty. He knew better. He was the guy that saved the other people, but he still took that chance. It's just like Snooty. He swam into something he couldn't get out of. He was not able to extract, just like Snooty, was not able to extract himself from that situation. Praise God. Too often Christians make the same mistake. They go along saving other people, reaching the lost, helping people find God, changing their life, making wise choices, doing what they're supposed to do, and just one time they get a funny idea in their head and they decide, well, I can get away with it this one time. Or they make an exception for themselves. I'm so good in all these other areas. God will allow me in this area. I can get away with it. No one will know. But we know better. We know better. The pastor who's counseling late at night with nobody around and a woman in his office. The guy who's running his own business and he knows his secretary's going to be there late at night. The guy who's running his business and decides he's going to borrow from the designated funds because he needs to pay a bill. And he'll pay it back. We know better. One bad choice. Don't get yourself into a corner that you can't get out of. But see, we don't have to make those choices. We don't have to swim into that tunnel. We don't have to ride the snowmobile up the dangerous mountainside, because God is with us, not against us. God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think, I've talked about this morning in our New Life class. When you get to the point where you think you've arrived, now I know I'm a Christian, be careful. Take heed lest he fall. But listen to the next verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We've all are tempted by the same ways. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. See, everyone here tonight knows in their heart that God is real. Now, you may not be a Pentecostal expert. You may not be a long... But you felt something here in this place. You've heard something here tonight. You know God's alive. You may not understand everything about it, but He's here. He's, and the Bible says that not one of us is tempted in a way that we can't handle. But we make a choice. We make a choice. And that's the great thing about the God we serve, is He gives us a choice. 1 Timothy 2:1 says almost the same thing as the verse that we started with. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Praise God. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're praying. We're asking God for help. We're interceding for others. We're giving thanks in our worship for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Listen to this, almost identical. Who will have all men, women, children, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's stand. Praise God. God's not playing with us. He wants us to be saved. The Bible says in two places, He is not willing that any should perish. It's not God's desire for us to be lost. It's not God's desire for us to make bad choices. It's not God's desire for us to make exceptions for ourselves and open the door to sin in our life. But with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. We have a choice. We all have a choice right here tonight. He wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what it comes down to. You must accept the fact that the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you will come tonight, God will reward you. If you come and pray, He will answer your prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is not willing that any should perish. I know there's someone under the sound of my voice that when I talked about that corner in your mind where you know that God is real, but you really haven't wanted to make that commitment. You haven't really wanted to admit it. You were concerned about what others would say. I know that your heart was touched. I know that the Word is ministering to you right now. I want you to come down to the front on this side. There's an opportunity to know this God personally and be filled with His Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You can come and repent from your sin. That means ask God to forgive you and give you the power to live the right life. And you can be baptized in Jesus' name. I want you to come down on this side and pray in front here. Someone will come and help you and even explain to you, if you have any questions, what you need. Praise God. That same God is a healer. He's the mighty God. He's the creator of the universe. He knows our needs before we pray. He can heal us. Praise God. But the Bible says that so many of us, we don't have what we need because we haven't asked for it. Praise God. Come and let God touch you. Come and be healed. And if there's something you're struggling with tonight, maybe you're one of those snowmobile safety guys that you've made some bad choices. Or maybe there's some things you're struggling with. Come right down here and let a brother and a sister come and pray with you. Praise God. God wants to make you free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from sin, free from addiction, free from confusion, free from fear, free from doubt, free from unbelief. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. And He'll give you eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 The God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can start fresh tonight. You can bring that bad choice, that bad decision here and lay it at the altar and start all over.